League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Thanks again to Dan Schulman and the ESPN crew for giving us great audio, and also to my man Nick Sciarra for gathering all the great postgame sound, including AJ Hinch right there talking about getting ready for the trip to Southern California and Game 6 tomorrow night as we continue to kick around what has happened so far in the World Series and what we can expect. One of the topics that we want to get back to is that of Yuli Gurriel. Because of the fact that so many things happened and three straight games happened from the last time we were on the air, we were talking about in our production meeting, look, everybody's going to focus on what happened last night, but there was a whole hell of a lot that happened Friday and Saturday.
Three games since we were last on air.
Isn't that crazy?
So you had the Yuli incident that occurred Friday night when the Astros won, right. And then the blowback, and then the Astros going out and laying an egg in the back, going cold and losing Game 4 on Saturday, and then
the
last
unbelievable
night
pitching of McCullers and Peacock Friday.
Yep, Peacock getting the save, and yep. Yeah, man, Giles basically losing it on Saturday. Tons of stuff. So I'm curious where you guys fall on the whole Yuli thing. I mean, I had a chance to talk about it a little bit yesterday on Houston Game Day, but I'm curious your thoughts since we haven't had a chance. What you thought about the incident and how you thought it was handled by, you know, the Astros, Major League Baseball, the Dodgers. I mean, what do you think?
Go ahead, Nick. You can start us if you want.
I mean, I think one of the bigger sticking points is whether or not he deserved a suspension during the World Series, or should he have gotten the 5-game suspension, you know, at the beginning of next season. I was okay with it being at the beginning of next season. And I think he played in Japan, and I think he knows the culture. And we kind of had a discussion with Raheel about this on our Saturday college football program. And he's like, well, he knows the culture, but at the same time, I think he knows what would push their buttons. Mm-hmm. And I know it comes off as me defending them, and I'll be the bad guy. But he knows the culture, and I think he knows what would really, really aggravate that culture. I think he knew what he was doing, and I don't think it deserves as much criticism as he's getting. That's just my personal opinion.
Now, because you talked about it yesterday, I'm going to give you my response, then I'm going to throw one back at you.
Okay.
All right. But here's the thing. Nick, if it means being the bad guy, I'll take it too, because Lisa's whole family of Hispanic descent, right? So right. They're giving me the term that he used. I was so oblivious to this because I was so into the game itself that I found out about it the next day and had to go back and look at the tape. Evidently, it was not only the gesture, but it was the term that he used, and it's a term in Hispanic culture. And Barry, I don't know if you and your wife talked about that is not as offensive as someone using the N-word. It's used a lot more frequently than you'd like to admit.
It's a very commonly used phrase.
So that is where I would start, and then also say, look, from the standpoint of the way Hugh Darvish handled it, class, all class, unbelievable. And the way MLB handled it. You may not like their decision, right? But transparency and why we made the decision and the four bullet points that whether you like it or don't, it's hard to argue with what they said. You can't in the playoffs get a financial fine out of the deal if you just suspend them for the playoffs. But if you do what you did next year, he's going to lose almost $350,000. So that weighed into it. Two, he weighed in the fact of what Hugh Darvish thought about the entire situation, which was big, to go and talk to the player involved. Because a lot of times there's emotions flying there and they don't feel like they're heard. I thought that was great too. Three, you don't want to penalize the other 24 men on this roster who have busted their ass to get to this point and say because of one man's mistake that you're going to make them pay as well. And I thought that was key too. And I think you brought up another point I was going to make. He played in Japan. Right? He knows. Sometimes, yes, he made a mistake, but is he a bad guy? No. The last thing I'm going to bring up is the fact that on the broadcast, when you had Ken Rosenthal talk about and write about, and there's a great article online about it, the fact that Beltran played with Darvish with the Rangers. He texted him. He texted him to explain, this is my guy. He's a good dude. If he wasn't, I wouldn't be texting you right now, but he feels horrible. When Darvish responded and said, let's just move forward, and I don't think any less of him, I think he's an okay dude, he showed Yuli, because in my opinion, this series was almost over when that incident happened, because I thought you're going to lose Yuli for the rest of the series. The fact that Beltran helped to kind of bridge the gap, that Darvish was as classy as he was, and the fact that when Yuli hit that home run, the weight of the world in his mind was lifted off of his shoulders, I thought those were all huge. The question I have for you two guys is, if you're a Dodger fan, do you feel the same way that we feel, that it was fair, that it was right, that they handled it the right way? Because I've got a lot of Dodger fans in my family, and I'm going to tell you right now, they all thought he should have been suspended for Saturday's game.
I think he should have been suspended for game four, and I'll give you the reasons why. It's not about the money. You can fine him if you want to affect his pocketbook. I think that you're sending the wrong message, and you're saying that what he did, and it's not even the phrase, the saying Chinito, it was the fact that he did the gesture to his eyes and laughed about it while saying Chinito. It's all of it, right? It's not just one incident. If he just kind of shook his head like, I know that Chinito didn't think he could get that ball by me or something like that, that's completely different. That's just to me. So I think that there was intent, and I want to start this off by saying that, listen, I don't think Yuli Gurriel, I'm not saying he's Hitler. Okay, I'm not saying that. There's a difference between, you know, just being a racist and doing something racist and ignorant. And that, to me, is what this is. It was ignorant and it was racist, but I don't think that that's what's in his heart,
right,
necessarily. I think he just did something that was dumb and without thinking. And so I think you still have to send a message that, look, I think we all get it, but it's not okay. And by saying that, well, we'll just wait until next year, you're putting the World Series and sports and baseball above what he did, offending an entire culture, potentially offending an entire culture. I feel like if this was Alex Rodriguez and the Yankees and having done that to the Dodgers, Astros fans with no skin in the game would have expected him to be suspended. But because it's an Astro, hey, you know, next year's fine. That's why Dodgers fans think it should have been now as well. So I think you have to remove yourself as a fan from this and look at it if it was neutral, you know what I mean? And I also feel like in this situation that because Darvish is Asian, that people are making it less of a deal. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
It's like, oh, well, I mean, I feel like if I gave this example on Sunday, and I'm sure this is going to set people off, and that's fine, but I want people that are out there, because I took a lot of heat for my stance on this over the weekend on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else, but I had a guy come on my Facebook wall, and he was like, well, you know, this is stupid, this is sensitive. Okay, and this dude was black. And so I asked him, let me ask you this. Same player, Yuli Gurriel, facing the Yankees. Hits a 3-run home run off Sabathia. Comes back to the dugout. There is a phrase very similar to Chinito in Spanish that means the same thing, and it's not offensive. Let's say he uses that word, which I'm not going to use on air, but he uses that word and makes himself look like a monkey at Sabathia. Is that okay? I don't think it is.
Nope.
It's not okay then, and it shouldn't be okay with Darvish, but because Darvish is Asian and it's less of a big deal to people, I think everybody's like, whatever. And I don't think that should be the case. So I think he should have been suspended for game four. Yes, there's an appeals process. Would he have been? No. But it sends the wrong message by saying we'll wait until next year.
And I'll say this. The other thing that I heard from a lot of people that I think has to be notated is you're missing the boat if you think this is just about being smarter and knowing where the cameras are when you're on the big stage. If you think that, then you're an idiot, because all you're doing is superficially trying to mask what is the bigger issue, which is whether you like it or not, whether you're an Astros fan, a Dodgers fan, or just watching the game, you can't think that that's okay, regardless of if he meant it or not, or if he's a good dude or not. You just can't.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a bit of a culture clash. I'm not going to go on and defend it because I'm a guy that's totally against racism, but I think there's a bit of a culture clash. I think he could have gotten away with it in the Japanese realm, like in a Japanese culture, I think he would have gotten away with it. And look, he apologized right away. So, look, he shouldn't do that. Look, if I was a Dodger fan, honestly, I think I'd feel the same way. But I am the guy who thought it was completely uncool that Ezekiel Elliott is still playing despite what's going on with him. So I tend to put more weight in domestic violence just because there's physical abuse there. But yeah, I mean, I think there's validity there.
And Barry, I think you nailed it. I think the other thing that is also being lost in all of this, if this wasn't about the Japanese culture, mm-hmm. especially with all the other volatilities that we have going on in society right now, this would have been a huge, monumental type deal.
Yeah, I mean, offensive is offensive, and it shouldn't matter. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, being racist. And again, I'm not saying that that's how he is. He did something racist. It's the same thing with McNair. Do I think McNair is a racist? No. Do I think he said something ignorant? And yes. And so I think there's a big difference between being ignorant and doing or saying something racist and being a racist. I don't think Yuli's out there and, you know, hating Asians and wanting to, you know, wipe them out the face of the earth or any of that stupid stuff. He screwed up. And he yeah. you know, and look, what it comes down to at the end of the day is how would you expect this to be treated if what he did was towards an African-American man yep. or a Hispanic man? Or so don't lessen it just because Darvish is Asian. Right. If it was offensive, it's offensive.
No question about it. Mark, hang in there. We see you. You want to talk about the Yuli situation. We're going to come to you next. We're going to take a quick break, then we're going to come back with a whole lot more. If you want to join us, please do so. 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. You can call. You can text. We'll be back with a whole lot more. We are the Usual Suspects, and this is ESPN 97.5.
First pitch to the bottom of the seventh is a fastball swung on and hit a ton. Way back and gone. Up onto the train tracks.
They're pretty awesome, and when they get going together, we talk about tandem ABs and putting one at bat after another against a team. We're relentless when we're good. And there were some pretty good at bats at the bottom of the order too. So we're hard to beat when we swing the bats like this.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on the Usual Suspects as we
for?
Continue to play.
Why did he look at me like that, Nick?
I don't know.
I was just stretching.
You made when stretching, and I was like watching Nick going.
Oh, he, see if we'd have gone hot.
And yeah, he's in the middle of like this exhaling groan.
I was like, I was listening to the guy still talking. I didn't think I thought I was like, did I fart and not know it? Is that why he's looking at me strange?
No, I would be more than. Oh, I'd be yeah. Okay. And by the way, we appreciate the, and Nick's doing a hell of a job, but it's awesome coming, you know, being able to have access to the sound. You heard AJ Hinch talking. You heard another great call from ESPN. And you can hear the rest of the series in stereo, which sounds great.
Yeah.
I believe it.
On ESPN 97.5 and yeah. Sports Map 94.1.
Yeah, it goes back and forth, but check your listings. But Dan Schulman's a hell of a play-by-play.
And we'll be doing a show after the series is over, whether that's tomorrow night or Game 7, right here on 97.5. So once the series is over, tune in. And I don't know what it's going to be called. I don't know what they're calling it. But we'll have call-ins from other folks.
I heard it was the Barry Laminack post-game
show
with friends.
No. I think it's just going to be Houston game day at night or something like
Isn't
that.
Isn't it baseball,
I don't know.
Bats, and Barry?
I hate you so much for that right now. Oh,
baseball,
God.
Bats,
turn his mic
Barry.
Off. Oh, you're going to make me vomit all over this. Oh, God.
But those are three reasons to download the app.
Yeah. All right. Let's get a couple of texts out of the way because I know the you guys want to talk about the Yuli thing, too, and tell me how stupid I am. The Astros are one win away. Where's the viewing party, Usual Suspects fam?
I actually thought about that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't want to jinx anything, but I did. I know. Thought about that we should all
get together
and let people that want to join us in front of a big
with our shirts
screen,
off.
No, I mean
what?
Nope.
Nick, nope.
Nope.
Okay, good because I'm up quite. I'm like 15 pounds. I don't want to have to do the shirtless. Nick's back, yeah, boy. Dilly dilly.
You can see my face right now, and I'm doing the normal.
I know. I'm trying to get some of these out of the way. These goes all the way back. So wait, So who's the gay member of the Usual Suspects? It can't be Joel. Why?
Because I'm married with kids. And
I'm married too.
Well, kind of.
It's either
you
Nick
are,
or
but
Barry.
You have cats.
So no, she has cats.
No, you
I
claim
have a
them
wife.
On a regular basis.
I have a wife that has cats.
You
Joel.
Claim that. Never
so
mind.
It's a can't be Joel. It's either Nick or Barry. Hashtag Kevin Spacey. Yeah, in case you don't know, Kevin Spacey came out and said he was gay.
after he came out and had to respond to the fact that he was making
advances
to
a 14-year-old
at the time, a youngster.
Yeah, so I think by default, I mean, I'm married, you're married. I think Nick is the Kevin Spacey of The Usual Suspects.
No, just because I'm negative does not mean negative.
Nick,
just because
you've told me for years your favorite Astros uniform is the rainbow jersey.
I am a fan of the rainbow jersey.
Rainbow jersey? Oops. That's a rainbow slip of the jersey. Tongue.
Yeah,
way to go, Nick Spacey. That was a slip of the tongue.
Look what you did there.
Yeah, you like that? Uh-huh. I'll tell you when you're right, Barry. Pitching beats hitting in the playoffs. Clearly, that's not the case this series. Well, it's definitely not the case. What are y'all's thoughts on the Astros win tomorrow night? Bregman getting the MVP. Yeah, we asked Blum that, and he said it was hard. Bregman has to be on
there.
The short list.
Yeah,
with the defensive plays that he's made, with the clutch hits that he's gotten in the series and in the playoffs, yeah, he's definitely on your short list
the
for
obvious-
sure.
Obvious. Is Beltran, I mean, is Correa and Altuve, because they've had the big hits in big situations too on two different occasions. But overall, when you talk about defense, when you talk everything that intangibles, when you talk about everything that Bregman has done and brought to the table, he's got to be, like you said, in the top two, up at the very top of the list. Other guys you got to consider, Yuli's been hitting the crap out of the ball.
Yuli has to be up there.
So he's got
to
be up there. Springer, because of the fact that he's had a couple of big bombs in big situations.
Yep.
So he'll get some love.
Defensive plays, not counting the
miscue.
Just
the one last night is going to be someone that everybody's going to remember.
I kind of feel like the leader in the clubhouse is probably Bregman for a couple of reasons.
Yep.
Because he's been so clutch late in games and getting hits off of Jansen and the defensive plays that he's made. He's made the tough plays look easy as well. You know, he scored some big runs as well. And you think about it, until last night, Altuve
he wasn't hitting for average.
No. So, I mean, you know, you can have some clutch moments, but I kind of feel like Bregman might be the leader in the clubhouse at this point.
Okay. I really do.
All right, you want to do
let's get to some calls? And by the way, just one other thing that we were talking, because you were reading some of the text to me in the break. Get things straight, people. We have a certain set of guidelines how we run this show.
Yeah.
Between the three of us.
Yeah.
Don't rope us in with everybody else.
Nope.
We don't do what others do, and we'll be fully responsible for what we do or don't do on this show. But don't rope us in. We're transparent, but don't rope us in with other shows.
Yeah, totally agree. And Justin said he fell asleep in the eighth inning in game two and missed it. He wasn't doing that again last night. And I don't blame you, bro.
Like we talked about, my wife
went to sleep. Yeah. He was not. I don't blame you, man. You missed game two, Justin? Stupid.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least you learned from your mistakes. All right, Mark, you want to get in here on the Yuli situation? Been waiting. We appreciate it. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Joel, Nick, how you doing?
What's up, man?
Welcome back, Nick.
Wow. Hey, Mark. Hold on, Mark. You're just going to gloss. There's three of us here. Not Joel. Hang up on him. I'm just kidding. Go ahead. What's up, man?
First and foremost, you know, I want to say I don't condemn what, you know, Yuli did or whatever. But, you know, but I think, you know, the fact that it's a culture clash, you know, the guy's been here less than 2 years in America, coming from a country where he didn't have no outside resources, you know. And one of the things, like, you know, and you probably know, Barry, because I think you said you're married to a Hispanic woman, but, you know, the Hispanic culture, you know, we have a bunch of mixed Hispanics, you know, we have dark Hispanics, we have Asian Hispanics. You see Correa, he looks kind of Asian, you know, you have all different types. So we have nicknames for those type of, you know, characteristics that Hispanic people might have. So, you know, between him and his culture, not knowing him being in the country less than 2 years, you know, not knowing, you know, that that's maybe a bad thing, and going along with the fact of his, you know, culture, you know, I think the fact that, you know, that Yu Darvish kind of took the high road and Beltran was there to help him out, to let him understand, like, hey, he doesn't know any better, you know, he's only been in the country for less than 2 years, you know, cut him some slack, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just a find a great leadership from Beltran, you know, for him to step in and do that. And for you, Darvish, too, you know, for taking the high road. But, yeah, I mean, I don't condemn what he said. But, you know, coming from a Hispanic background, you know, we call each other, you know, if you have a certain characteristic like me, I have a little bit of slanted eye. And, you know, people tell me I look Asian for whatever reason, you know, and it is what it is, so.
All right, Mark, we appreciate the call, man, and good insight. That's kind of what Barry and I were talking about, too, where, you know, there's some terminology that – but here's the thing, no matter what happens, and no matter even what you said, and by all accounts, you learn a lot about a player when you're in the clubhouse and on road trips, and you know, you get a pretty good indication of what kind of person they are. Mm-hmm. So it's nice that Beltran stood up for him, but it still doesn't excuse what he did.
Nope. Nope, it doesn't. And I don't know that I would also accept the fact that he's not from... listen, racism isn't just an American thing.
Right.
So you can't just say, well, he's only been here a year and a half. Racism exists everywhere. That'd be like excusing a South African in America. Well, you know, he's only been in America.
I think it has some more like...
You can't just use where he's from as an excuse. That doesn't, I mean...
But what they interpret as racism is different than what we interpret as racism.
Like, okay.
That
to me makes more sense than just saying, well, he's only been in America a year.
Because I don't think they would consider that racist
or offensive. No. In Cuba. I agree that in Cuba that may not be offensive, but you can't, I mean, where somebody's from.
No, but that's the right interpretation. In Cuba, talking about Japanese people that way or Asian culture that way is probably acceptable or is used frequently. But that doesn't make it okay because that word, that term, from the standpoint of hearing the opinions of Asian people, is a pretty painfully objectionable and derogatory term. So, yeah, I mean, and here's the other thing. You chose to come to the United States to play baseball, so part of your getting indoctrinated to the culture is get educated, too, and understand that.
For sure. If you're going to decide to live in another country, you're going to have to educate yourself about the society, the culture, for sure.
The texters counted how many you knows, Mark said. Apparently, it was 84.
There were a lot. Yeah, I saw that. All right, so Rex, Drew, we see you. We appreciate you hanging in with us. Coming out of the break, we're going to get to you guys.
Yeah, and we want you to know that on your calls, Rex and Drew, you're not allowed to say you know. We have run out of you knows. We're out, so you can't use that turn of phrase.
We have sent the interns to stop and go down the street to try and get some more. They might be out, you know? So we'll figure it out. All right, we'll be back. We're at the midway point. Taking a break, but coming back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
We show up here and ready to win a ball game.
As the 1-0's a swing and a high fly ball, McCann has given it a ride, and it is gone. The fifth home run of the night for the Astros, and it is 12-9.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Brian McCann before, Brian McCann's highlight, and then the after, the insurance that they desperately needed last night, that Brian McCann home run. I mean, everybody was like, okay, cool, that's cool. At least gives him a three run. I don't think anybody really thought that they were going to need it, but that became a huge factor in that
Every
game
one
night.
Of those runs no was question. Needed.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Just insano.
No doubt. You know, and it was funny because, you know, again, we go back and forth with all the Twitter stuff. And by the way, give it a rest on Barry and the Dodgers and Puig.
Look,
and all that.
I've seen them all, and if I think they're funny, I've retweeted plenty of pictures that people have made about me. I just don't think they're funny. I mean, it's like you just put a Dodger hat on me. One, if you're trying to – I mean, I'm an Astros fan. That's been obvious, I think, from day one. Here's the deal about me picking the Dodgers. And maybe – did I say this in the beginning? But I feel like if I would have picked the Astros, I would have been a homer.
Yeah, you wouldn't be being honest.
Yeah. And
we talked about that.
I've learned that it's a no-win situation to do picks, but you have to. It's part of the job.
El Jefe, if you want something to do instead of doing another one about Barry, why don't you do a split screen between James Comey and Rich Hill of the Dodgers, and just put a Dodger hat on James Comey. I was looking at it last night going...
Or just make them funny, and then I'll retweet them, but none of those are funny.
I think Rich Hill looks just like James Comey.
I was like, I don't know, but the more I look at it, you might be onto something
James
here.
James Comey, after he got out, you know, it was let go and got away from the public eye, he's been throwing on the side. I mean, he may be a good starting pitcher tomorrow night.
Do we know where he's living right now? Is he in L.A. or is he...
Pictures like album covers from Iowa, but you never know. I don't know. We'll see. All right, so Drew, you've been waiting a while. You want to get back in here on this Yuli topic? What's up? Oh, Drew is no longer with us.
Drew,
right.
Well, yeah, they all
so
petered
Drew
out.
And Rex, I don't know if something came up, but we were getting kind of some good dialogue going. But if you want to come back to the show when you get a chance, give us a shout, and we'll get you right back in. So other than that, I also tweeted, by the end of this thing, regardless of how it plays out, you think the Dodgers will have nightmares the rest of their life every time they hear a train horn? Because they don't just ring that thing like once. They sit on that bad boy.
Old Bobby Dynamite was getting some run.
Got some features. They got a live shot.
Camera in the train.
Yeah.
I think they had to stop for gas like three times after, boy, he wore that track out.
I said, you think the Dodgers have nightmares with the train and Bobby Dynamite? But then think about it. And Bobby Dynamite in just a pair of overalls. And in your nightmare, the horn sounds right as Bobby Dynamite's coming in. Look out!
That is pretty good. Oh, is Drew back?
Okay.
Okay.
Drew, before we lose you, what's up?
Yeah, it's not a real hot take or anything. No real direct correlation to Yuli's actions, but yeah, the cameras captured what they captured. What's done is done. Constantly, they're capturing, and I have to look at my nephews awkwardly every time. Disappointment shots, especially in slow motion. Dudes dropping F-bombs left and right. You don't see any repercussions for that. I mean, you know, I don't get offended by it. I don't give a damn. But, you know, there's people out there that are offended by that. Game in and game out, you can see guys out there. They have to show their, you know, expression of disgust that it's always an F-bomb or this. And Bellinger last night after one of his big hits late in the game. F these mother effers. You could see it blatantly. You could almost hear it. I mean, you know, you want to go after Yuli for something like that, go after the networks and these yahoos running the camera.
Appreciate the call, Drew. Yeah, you were right. It wasn't a very hot take because I don't know how you could totally compare different. One to the other.
Right. I understand. Look, to his point, yeah, they have gotten a lot of really close-up, really solid audio of cussing. Cussing is so totally different than the racism that we're talking about.
Yeah, that's
I can sum it up quickly.
Two completely different things. I could see where a word might be offensive, but yeah, I don't know how you would lump those in together. It's not even, I don't know, not even close. Let's get a couple more texts out of the way and then we'll move on because I know we still got a bunch of topics. We got to talk game 4 and 3. We haven't done that. We've got to talk Texans. Yeah, there's a ton of stuff. But let's get and we got another call too. So I'll save the Texans text for later.
Okay.
Friendly neighborhood beer salesman just said that his wife. I was watching the game and having to watch my wife, who's from LA, just crumble was hilarious. I'm sure others wouldn't feel the same way, Joel.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, Barry, I don't have Twitter, but are people still really killing AJ since Bregman has been killing it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. AJ. In fact, somebody texted and said AJ Hoffman should get the MVP for lighting a spark under Bregman and making him go off like this, which I don't know if I would give that much credit to AJ Hoffman. I do feel like the first time after it happened in the dugout when he hit the first home run and he was like, pumped up. I think that may have been some. There may have been some there.
I may or may not have tweeted last night hashtag LABF.
Yeah, love Alex Bregman forever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
AJ Hinch should have suspended Yuli for an at bat at least. Him doing nothing looks bad. I'm not going to criticize AJ Hinch because the way he handled it. I mean, AJ Hinch isn't going to suspend a player. I think if anything, if in the past you've seen this happen, if you want to talk about precedents that has been set. There was it Clevinger?
There was the center fielder for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, but there was the gay slur, and then Clevinger, I think, was the one who made the remarks on Charlottesville and the Baltimore policeman and all that. Both of those guys had
Braves player and one Blue Jays player.
But both of those were team suspension. So if you really want to talk about precedent set, don't even wait for MLB. Maybe the Astros should have suspended Gurriel for a game themselves and handled
it. It's not on AJ. You're absolutely right. It's an organizational secondary. It's a primary of the Major League Baseball and the commissioner's office, which does the actual suspension.
Well, in those two cases, which were, I mean, if you want to talk about in the ballpark of what happened, those were the two. Those were done by the team.
Before they even waited for the league office.
So that, I think, would have been a great way to handle it as well. Now, you know, I mean, maybe Yuli suspended himself because he didn't do crap in game 4.
And you want to talk about what AJ did do, but the other part of that that's classy, and I mentioned how classy Yu Darvish was, AJ calling Dave Roberts in the middle of the night and saying, look, I know you have Japanese descent in your background. I believe it's his mother. I want to know how you feel because I want to handle this appropriately. And whatever you tell me, I'm not going to.
That's what I loved.
I thought it was fantastic.
Well, yeah, I didn't realize that occurred until they mentioned it on the broadcast. But how could you? I don't know that anyone could have handled it any better than he did by basically just saying, whatever you want, however you want us to handle it, whatever you decide, we're going to support you. And then you talk about the class of Darvish. You talk about the class of Roberts by saying, we want this to be about the players. Let's all move on. So, I mean, all the way around.
They could have been.
Than the action itself, everybody handled this with class. And I think even Yuli coming out immediately and apologizing. And I think it was sincere.
I do too.
I'm not suggesting that it wasn't malicious and that he's faking it. But I think he was sincere in his apology. And I think he genuinely felt bad.
No doubt about it. All right, Henry, you want to get in here? You've been waiting a while. What's up?
Hey guys, man, how you doing today? I'm good, man. I think, you know, racial topics, stuff like this is a very sensitive thing. I think it's kind of downplayed being that he is of Hispanic descent, talking about someone of Asian descent or mimicking Asian descent, kind of like what you guys said. And I don't disagree that if it was done, you know, towards someone black, it would be blown out of proportion. And that's me coming from a black man. And I say that because, you know, with everything that's going around right now and how, you know, the black culture has been discriminated against for so long. Nevertheless, I'm more of the person like this. And sports, things get heated. You get emotional. Things that get said. I don't think the guy's racist. You know, when we play basketball, baseball, football, or whatever, you get caught up in the moment. You're playing against an opponent. You know, you attack them. And we've all said some racially insensitive things before in our life that don't make us racist. I mean, you know, did people get offended? Of course they did. Should we downplay it? No, we shouldn't. I think I agree with you guys that they handled it appropriately. I mean, how do you really handle something like this in this type of atmosphere? You know, I don't think it should be the main focus, especially with right now with what's going on. It's being the World Series, like you guys said, you know, focusing on the game right now. Everybody shouldn't be punished from one man's mistakes, and he apologized. I mean, it's no different if a black man would have said something, you know, about a white player. You know, same thing. You know,
Henry,
he would have been out of line. Yeah,
Henry. Now you said you're African American, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so you said that Yuli apologized and that should be the end of it, but, I mean, I how do you feel? I mean, Bob McNair came out and apologized. Have you moved on? Are you good with that?
I'm not offended by what Bob McNair said.
Okay.
I totally understood. I understood exactly what he said. He used the phrase. You know, does it piss me off? No, it doesn't piss me off because I understood the analogy he gave. I think a lot of things surrounded, you know, with black folks is, some of it is ridiculous. That's just my opinion. You know, I think some people would like to grab hold of stuff and just run with it, you know. I don't think he meant it as a racial comment at all. I just think somebody found something that was insensitive and took it and ran with it, you know. Now, I actually did not say that he apologized. It should be the end of it. I just said that it shouldn't be blown out of proportion, you know. Him being reprimanded is justified.
Okay.
We appreciate the call, Henry. Good stuff, as always, getting your opinion out there.
To me, and I said this before, and I'm trying to use the parallel because they both happened in Houston sports. And by the way, texter that ends in 9825, change the channel. I mean, this happened in your city in the span of a weekend. We're going to talk about it. If you don't like it, change the channel. It involves sports. I mean, he's over here texting about NPR and tree hugging in Oregon. Dude, it was a sports owner and a sports player in sports. Change the channel if you don't like it, but I'm blocking you on the text line because you're being an idiot.
Well,
that said,
is it just football focused or was it on the Gurriel topic too?
It's both. I mean, we were talking about because I want to. I mean, to draw the parallel again, the same thing that I said about Yuli, I think, is the case with Bob McNair. And then I don't think Bob McNair is racist. He said something ignorant. He chose a poor phrase. He chose a common phrase at a poor time,
and he botched the phrase too.
And but I don't think there was any. You know what I mean? I don't think it was malicious. In the case of Yuli, I think it was, he was making Chinese eyes. You know what I mean? I think that that's a little more egregious than what Bob McNair did. And so you can't also, it's hard to tell another culture what to get offended about.
No doubt.
I mean, I'm having a feeling that this guy that keeps texting the show, this 9825 guy, is probably also a, hey, stand for the anthem. You're offending all the people that fought for it guy. So you can't have this your way only. You can't tell people what to get offended by.
No doubt.
That makes no sense.
Jay, hang in there. We were trying to get them both in, but we're going to hold on for you. If you do have a, and we see more calls are lining up. So we're going to continue to roll on, but we do have to take care of some business. We are going to be back in just mere minutes, but I think, Barry.
Yes! Right now, I want to tell you about the best place to eat in Houston. My opinion, of course, but I think once you try the food, it'll be your opinion, too. It's called Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. Oh, my God. So good. You're going to love this place. 1901 Taft in Midtown. Get out there and give it a shot. It's a mix of both Southern comfort and Indian food. And I know what you're thinking. What? I've never heard of that before. That's right. That's what makes this place awesome. You get a choice. You get a wide variety of foods to choose from while you're out there. Maybe you want to have chicken curry tonight, but your wife wants chicken fried steak. Well, now's your chance. You go to Cowboys and Indians and you can have both. They've got quesadillas made with naan bread. To me, they have one of the best burgers in this city. It's called the Himalayan Heat Burger. I challenge you, get out there and try it. Give it a shot. I promise you, you're going to put it on the list of one of the best in this city. Wings, sliders, they're known for having the best butter chicken in Houston. All of it delicious, and the Indian food is family recipes that have been passed down over generations that Haas and his staff have perfected. And here's the cool thing right now. Get out there for lunch. You've only got 15 minutes left now, but daily between 11 and 3, and for a limited time, Cowboys and Indians is having a lunch special for ESPN 97.5 listeners. It's $8.99. You get a half-pound classic burger with fries. Get out there and give it a try. Watch the Astros while you can go out there and watch the game, enjoy their full-service bar. And maybe if you don't want to get out, maybe you want to watch the game at home, but you want to have some delicious food, you can have Cowboys and Indians delivered to your door via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. Again, 1901 Taft in Midtown, Facebook. They're located at CNI 713. Whatever you do, make sure you get out there and try it. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, there's nothing like it.
Hey, back on the Usual Suspects, knee deep in hour number 2 of the 3-hour extravaganza. And Darren Revelle just tweeted out something that I wish he wouldn't have.
Uh-oh.
Our good friends at Academy Sports and Outdoors, there is a picture of their back storage rooms.
Mm-hmm.
With tons of boxes of Astros World Series championship gear with signs all over it that says, please do not open until they win.
Oh, no. Well, I guess you got to be ready.
I guess. But please don't allow this to be the jinx that sends those Dodgers to a third world country.
I'm sure there's some boxes in there for the Dodgers as well.
All right.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, but I still don't like it. I chastised Robert Harris here to get off of Twitter every time the Astros play from now on since he was, in my mind, personally responsible for jinxing Ken Giles.
Yeah, I got a bunch of that, too. I think Robert and I were pretty much on the same page.
Yeah, I was telling
one.
You both.
I caught a bunch of...
I just told you to please push away from the keyboard.
Yeah. It's so funny because a lot of people were getting mad at me last night, but I was almost the reverse jinx. Anytime I said something, the opposite happened. So then people were like, hey, say that the Astros are going to give up a bunch of runs here. So, yeah, last night I had the reverse jinx going. We'll see. Steve said that Springer's the MVP. 333 batting average, 440 OBP, 857 slugging, 3 home runs, 5 runs, 4 RBIs, 4 walks. Big bats
said,
in game 2 and 5.
I said he was in the equation. But
yeah.
We'll see.
I wouldn't argue.
No. But we got games to be played, too.
Yep.
You know, Verlander could throw a gem tomorrow night and throw the whole thing. And I'd be
That's
okay
right.
with it. All right.
That's right.
Jay, you've been waiting a long time. You want to get in here. We appreciate it. Jay, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Well, first thing I had a couple questions I wanted to ask you guys. But the first thing I wanted to say is I really hope that in my lifetime we don't experience a zombie apocalypse, because I can almost guarantee there's going to be a bunch of sensitive hippies that start a zombie rights activist group. At least that's the way the whole country seems like it's going. As far as the baseball and the Yuli thing, how much of this do you think is just a result of being in the spotlight? Because it seems to me it's probably happened before in the past, probably more than once, probably numerous times. But just the fact that this is the World Series and everybody's under the spotlight, you think maybe that's got some of a role to play with it?
In what regard, Jay? I mean, it's actually a positive if on the biggest stage it brings light to a topic and an issue that needs to be addressed.
I don't think, okay, this brings me to my second question. Why does it need to be addressed? Because, question for you guys, have you guys ever been to a youth girls softball game?
That would be weird. Why in the hell would I go to a...
Everybody's got daughters, and everybody, I'm sure, has got a niece or somebody like that. But these girls are brutal. These girls from the dugout just troll and tease, and it seems even more so than the guys. Matter of fact, I know more so than the guys. These girls will just go off on each other from dugout to dugout. They have little rhymes, and they say things about each other's mama. I think I'd be more offended if somebody said something about my mama than they did about my race or about myself.
Well, that's you. I don't know,
Jay,
that
you can't say that that's okay. It's not okay for them to do it. It's not okay for Gurriel to do it. It's not okay for the fact that simply and as straightforward as we can be, because it's offensive, but it's also because Japanese players are telling you it's offensive to their culture, to their people.
If you think that just because the Dodgers handled it with class that they weren't offended, you're wrong. And if you're going to sit here and try to tell me that a mama joke is the same as making fun of someone's race or culture, I don't know what to tell you, man, because the two aren't even close to being comparable.
And here's the last thing on that. Like Jeff Blum said, Jay, pay attention to what happens starting tomorrow night. You'll see that Dodger fans aren't happy about it.
I tell you what, I can't. I go ahead and get your next picture ready, Huffy, because I would love to see a Game 7, if for no other reason than the fact that Darvish is going to be pitching Game 7 at home and Yuli will be playing. I would love to see that unfold just to see what the tension's like at the plate. Is there any, you know what I mean? What happens? Mm-hmm. Do they both handle it classy? Does maybe Yuli come out and tip his hat like, hey, I apologize? Or I mean, how does that? I would love to see that, though, man. Darvish, and I'd Yuli, also, maybe, first of all, maybe ninth inning, game tied. Yuli comes up to the plate.
Says, I don't want to see that.
I know.
And
no, I don't
but
either.
I will. I, but you know what I do want to know?
Boy, that would be
delicious.
I want to
know because they said they were supposed to meet
behind
the scenes. I would like to know if that happened or not.
Yeah, that would be. I would be interested to see. Hopefully that those two got it squared away, because that's really ultimately what matters at the end.
Right.
Is that's that exactly those two have that know. Conversation.
Yep. Now, someone that has a name that you pronounce better than anybody is up next on this topic, so I would like you to go to it.
William?
No.
Mario.
Yeah. Is it Mario or Mario?
No, it's Mario.
Mario,
what's up?
See, damn it. Even when I tried, I got it wrong.
Yeah, I was just reading over the rules regarding the whole Yuli Gurriel thing, and my question is does it have to automatically be a suspended infraction, or why was it not brought up where it could have been a finable infraction?
Oh, it is.
I'm gonna hang up and listen to you guys.
All right, so here's the thing. I covered this earlier, and Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, made sure that one of his bullet points on why they did what they did was for this very reason. The fact that if he was suspended for a World Series game, the playoffs, you're not actually technically getting paid for. You're not getting extra income for that. So suspending him would not cost him any income. Suspending him for 5 games to start the season at the start of next season is going to cost him roughly $330,000. And also, from a past precedent standpoint, one of the things that Major League Baseball tried to do was, most of the suspensions that Barry and I talked about in the past in Major League Baseball have been a game or two or three. They said because they are taking such a large period of time before the suspension actually starts, that they threw past precedents out and made it a longer suspension, thus making it a 5-game suspension.
You know, I'll go back to say what I said earlier. I think all that's great, but I think it sends the wrong message by delaying it, because it really and truly... the appeals process would have pushed this past the World Series, which means it would have all taken place at the beginning of next year. But essentially what MLB came out and said is the World Series trumps anything that offensive may have occurred on the field. And I think that sends the wrong message as well. Go ahead and give him the suspension and say, you know what, you're going to be, you know, suspended this much and fined this much. Then let him appeal, because then it's all going to be pushed to next year anyway.
And you bring up another thing that we didn't touch on too. One of the other things why they said that they did what they did and it went when they did it is because they were afraid of the appeals process, and if the player appealed, that it could be long and drawn out, and it wouldn't have been able to affect the World Series game anyway. But they said, lo and behold, Yuli was so remorseful in the fact that and apologetic for the fact that he did it, and he wanted to own up to it and be apologize for it, that he wasn't going to appeal the process. So yeah. That was something that I failed to mention earlier. So sorry about that. William Clarence, we see you. We're going to get you as we open up the top of the final hour of the show. And it's a good timing because we're going to transition to some football. We still got to talk about one hell of a football game up in the Pacific Northwest yesterday, where Houston, you do have yourself a quarterback, and he had one heck of a performance. It's just the defense didn't step up when they needed to with time running out. And instead of a great win, that was a tough loss for your Houston Texans. We'll talk football next. Don't go anywhere. Two in the books, one to go. Plenty more of the big show coming up next on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Madonna, way before Nirvana, there
was you two and Blondie. Music still on MTV. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.